Actually, any business, not necessarily syndication or real estate business, you have to put systems and processes in place when you start it, when you start the business, and that's going to position you to scale faster than versus someone who just, starts a business and says, I'm just going to figure things out one day at a time, one task at a time, one deal at a time. No.
This is another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. My guest today is Ellie Perlman. Ellie is the host of the Ready to Scale podcast, and she's the founder of Blue Lake Capital. Ellie, thank you for joining me.
Absolutely, Michael. Thank you for having me.
And I think I got everything right, right?
Yes. Yes, you did.
I'm really bad at that. Ellie and I met a number of years ago, and since then, Blue Lake Capital is your real estate investment firm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I love the name of your podcast, Ready to Scale. So what sort of things do you talk about on Ready to Scale?
So we basically talk about tactics and strategies and tools that investors, real estate investors, can use if they want to scale their portfolio or their business, if they're active investors. We're talking about different ways to invest in real estate, different strategies, different asset classes, everything. We basically talk about everything they need to know or have in their business so they can scale and grow fast.
I love it. And that's consistent with our theme of Automate and Grow. So it's a great fit.
Awesome.
Now, your journey to building Blue Lake, it's not that old, right? How long have you been doing Blue Lake Capital, or when did you start it?
2017.
Which is right around the time we met. And I think you were pre-deal at that point. So that since then, you've been able to build up a portfolio. Like, what sort of stuff do you do with Blue Lake?
So at Blue Lake, we basically buy multifamily properties, and usually 200 to 500 units in Texas and Florida and Georgia. So interesting markets without rent control.
So not California.
No, not California, unfortunately. You know, when you buy a building of 100 units, let's say, and each unit costs you $100,000, $150,000, that's kind of the stuff we're looking for. What we do is very simple. We buy a property, we make it nicer, we improve the exterior, we renovate the units, and then we raise rents by 20-25%. And after 5 years, we're selling the property and we're moving to the next deal.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you say, the podcast is Ready to Scale, like, how does someone get ready to scale? Like, what is it, more a mindset, or is there actually strategies and tactics that you think need to be in place?
So mindset is part of it. And I think mindset is very important, but it's not everything. I think if you're getting ready to scale when you start a business, actually any business, not necessarily syndication or real estate business, you have to put systems and processes in place when you start it, when you start the business, and that's going to position you to scale faster than versus someone who just, starts a business and says, I'm just going to figure things out one day at a time, one task at a time, one deal at a time. No, if you're going to start like this, you're always going to be one deal after another. You have to make sure that you're positioning, you're building your business in a way that enables you to scale quickly. Look at it as a business. Don't focus on one deal and say, I'm just going to focus on getting the first deal. I'm going to figure it out. And then I'm going to move to the next one. You got to build a system in place. So you're systematically looking for deals. So you have everything in place so you can basically, close more deals and scale and grow your income instead of just figuring out where the first client is going to come from, where the first deal is going to come from. Because guess what? Not only are you going to get burnt out, it's going to take a lot more time for you to start becoming profitable and for your company to scale.
So when you say, like, what sort of systems are in place for a business like you're building? Like, I guess the first part is, in most businesses, is finding customers. But in your case, you're looking for properties.
Right.
And so you're putting a system in place to do that? Like, give me an idea what that looks like.
So for instance, our acquisition team actually works in a very, very robust, process. So we know exactly when, where they're going to look for deals, you know, what day of the week they're going to do it, where they're looking for deals. And once they see a deal that kind of makes sense, because we basically go to brokers, you know, websites to look for them, then the deal moves to a certain, we have a breakdown of about 15 different steps between looking at the deal and closing the deal. Okay. So we're using a tool called Airtable, and it's completely free.
Right.
And you can, there are a lot of templates there that you can use. And one of them, you have tools for CRM, for marketing, and for a lot of things. And we used that tool, Airtable, to build a platform where basically we have all 15 steps along the way. And every time, you know, you have a deal, it goes to step number one. And then you have, once it's done, you push it to the next step and the next step. So people from the team, you know, team members can actually look at that. They look at that one place and they know who needs to do what, because different players are taking care of different parts of the process. And you can do it not only in real estate, the same, you know, if you're trying to get new clients, it's kind of pushing it to, okay, here are the clients that, you know, I'm talking with, and this is the follow-up or the qualification or whatever it is. When you first start, you have to basically examine the entire process, break it down to different steps, and understand who needs to do what. And it should be very clear to all team members. And then you build a system where everyone has visibility and they can see exactly where each client, each deal, each property is in, you know, in that, on that spectrum. And if someone if something is stuck, you see it right away. It's not kind of
it'll sneak up on you.
Exactly, yeah, because you have it's everything is very visible, and you see, you have a snapshot of everything that is happening, and it's in one place.
So it's interesting. You know, I haven't really used Airtable, but Airtable, for people that don't know, it's kind of a combination of, it's a very simple way for you to build a database, but then it also has concepts. So it's almost like a spreadsheet, but with the power of a database, right?
Yeah, and it's very easy to, for people who, you know, don't know how to use, you know, Excel spreadsheets or don't know how to build systems. It's very, very user friendly. They made it so easy, you know, a 10-year-old can learn how to deal with it.
Yeah,
they're probably better at it than we would be. Yeah, probably. But it's a very, very user friendly tool, very easy to use, and I have no affiliation with them, but I love this tool. And
me neither.
Anyone about, you know, about this tool, because it just, it's great.
That's awesome. Okay. So then once you have a deal, then your process is to go in, clean it up. And I guess there's probably a step in between there. Like you're getting investors for deals too. Is there a process around that you've built, or is that part of the first?
Yeah. One? Yeah. It's a separate process. So we have an investor relation team, and basically I put a lot of content out there, and that whole process is also very streamlined. So my marketing team knows on Monday we're posting a blog, on Tuesday we have artwork, on Wednesday we're sharing a quote. So every day and on different times in the day, so a week ahead of time, everything is uploaded to the system, so you know when you're releasing you know, social media bits. And then basically, that's how we attract investors, where they're reading the pieces of information that we put out there, the videos, the podcast, the blog. I also write for Forbes. So basically, we share everything on social media.
That's great. Yeah. I didn't know that. You're the second guest in a row that says I write for Forbes. So I'm clearly, I need to get in Forbes.
Do whatever you can to get there. It definitely helps. But that's kind of the process that we have. So people are actually, investors are looking for me. We don't reach out to investors and say, hey, do you want to invest with Ellie?
Interesting.
Basically everything we do is to send traffic to our website. So we have kind of a teaser of the podcast or a blog, for instance. In order to listen to podcasts or read the blog, you have to click and go, and that would send you to the website. And why? Because on the website, you basically can read about the company, about what I do, and we have a form where you want to leave your information if you want to talk to me about investing. So that's kind of how the process works. So it's pretty robust when someone sends the information through the form on the website, then our investor relations team get, you know, that's their, they know to move forward and, you know, schedule a call and follow up and do everything. So again, it's a very, very defined process. We don't just get random emails, reply, and then things, because when you do that, things are going to fall between the cracks. You're going to lose clients. You're going to lose deals because, you know, one email that you forgot to answer,
right,
and that's it.
So you're using Airtable for that as well, or did you use another tool?
Yeah, we use Airtable for that. And we're looking for, you know, as a CRM, we're actually, there are a few tools out there. You have Keap, which is K-E-A-P. Yep. I haven't used, but I looked into it.
Don't do it.
Yeah?
It's formerly Infusionsoft, so it's probably worth looking at. Yeah.
But we're looking into other tools. You can use Airtable for... you know, for a CRM, but I think once you have a massive amount of people that reach out to you, it can get a little bit, it's like a fancy Excel spreadsheet. So you can't really.
Yeah, no, you definitely need a CRM and marketing automation at some point. So, and that's good that you're getting that many inquiries. So that's a positive thing. Your social media and your promotion efforts seem to be working really well.
Yeah.
And not to say anything bad about Keap, but Keap used to be Infusionsoft. And the joke was Confusionsoft.
Oh, okay. So it's a good thing to know. We looked into it, but we chose not to go with them.
Yeah. There's obviously a bunch of tools. I work a lot on HubSpot, or I work a lot on Salesforce. Those are both worth looking at. Mm-hmm. I recently did a project on Zoho, which I've always been kind of down on, but it's actually probably worth looking at. There's actually, they've done some interesting things with that platform. Off the top of my head.
I think the challenge with Zoho is that it's there's a lot of coding that needed to be done, and
that's what HubSpot's like too.
Yeah,
I think HubSpot's like that. Salesforce could be coding, but doesn't have to be. Salesforce gets overwhelming to people. You kind of need someone like me to go, listen, it's just what's your marketing process, what's your sales process, what's your support process, and boom, 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 do it for you, right? Mm-hmm. That's usually the easier way to do it rather than trying to do it all yourself. And then you're good. You know, you just administer it. It's interesting to hear that you're kind of at that process where you've used a tool like Airtable, and now you recognize that to keep, you know, dealing with the volume, which is great that you have, that you need some other tools. So that's amazing. Well, listen, I want to be conscious of your time. So is there anything we haven't touched on that we should make sure that we tell people about?
When it comes to scaling, no, I think we talked about the importance of building a system from the beginning. And people hear the word system and they get scared. Oh, a system sounds expensive and complicated. Yeah. No, it's not. A system is just, think of it as a system of rules. You need to have some tools. There are a lot of easy tools to deal that you can handle. But you can definitely, you know, the main thing is to really know how the process looks like from start to finish and have a tool, an easy to use tool that you can actually manage it. I think another important tool that we're using is, you know, just understanding, it's kind of from the business strategy point of view. So we're using OKRs. I'm using Ally.com.
What's an OKR?
So OKRs, it's basically, you know, a way to look at what's important with the company, you know, at the company level, and kind of what are the goals. So OKRs are objective and key results. Objectives is kind of what is the goal for the company. So for instance, you can have multiple OKRs. So one OKR, for instance, could be buy 1,500 units this year. So that's the objective. Now the key results, so the objective is the what, and the key results are the how. Okay, the what is 1,500 units now, or 1,500 clients or whatever it is. Now the what, that's the what. Now the how is the key results. How am I going to get there? And how am I going to get there? It could be by looking into 50 deals a week. It can be by hiring more people on the acquisition side. It could be by partnering with 5 more companies this quarter or this year, so we can do more deals. And once you have your KRs, your key results, you distribute it to those that work underneath you and say, okay, the first one you said we have to look for 50 more deals. this is now your objective. This is your main thing that you need to do. Hiring more, that was the second one. This is on me. That's my focus. And then partnering, you might want to allocate some time to partner with other groups, or you might want to basically hire someone that can help you bring those relationships. So when you have it, again, it's all very clear. And there's a lot of, we're using Ally.com. There are a lot of other tools out there. So the entire company can see what everyone else is working on, and it focuses you around, around your goals. And so once you have a goal, it has to be also, the KRs have to be measurable. So if we say 1500 units or 20 units or whatever it is, it's, you do a check-in every week, for instance, and you see where you are. You know, you said 1500, you have to do periodic check-ins. So where you are right now, are you at 700? Are you at 1000? Are you at 200? And that would tell you, the system will tell you, oh, this is compromised. You might be running behind. And you got to take care of it and put more of your resources, you know, adjust them to take care of what you're behind. So it gives you an amazing visibility.
But you are the first person I've actually talked to that A, knows what OKRs are and uses them. And this concept, I think, was recently popularized by writing of John Doerr, right? And for people that don't know, John Doerr is from Kleiner Perkins, which is one of the most successful venture capital firms. Like, they funded everyone from Compaq to Oracle to Microsoft to whatever, right? Like, they're like legendary. And he wrote the book to describe this concept that they instilled in all of their founder-led businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Is that where you got it from?
Yeah. So I Measure What Matters, such a great book.
Right. And this Measure is What Matters.
Exactly, yeah. Measure What Matters, highly, highly recommend. It doesn't matter how big or small your company is, or even if you're a one person, a one man show, one woman show, it's such a life, a company changing kind of, you know, book, because I realized that focusing on KPIs is nice, but you're kind of missing the bigger picture.
Right.
And OKRs can actually help people, you know, be more motivated, it helps to give them, you know, a sense of, you know, there's like, there's something bigger here,
right?
And this is what we do. It's not only, oh, I need to increase the traffic from X to Y. That's a very narrow approach. If you don't understand why you need to do it and kind of what's the bigger goal here, when you need to have visibility to everyone in the company and see. And that's what OKRs is.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm excited that everyone is, I didn't know that before either, before we talked. So I really appreciate you bringing that up, because again, you're the first person that I've talked to aside from, I thought I read it and nobody else read it.
people
read it. Okay. So that's a great book to Measure What Matters, John Doerr. And okay. So Ellie, I'm going to wrap up with a few questions here, because I know you've got a hard stop. The first thing is, if you believe that you are the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with, who do you spend the most time with?
First of all, my husband, and more now than ever because of the quarantine.
Yeah.
And the, you know,
you're the midst of Corona quarantine, by the way, everybody. So
yes. So everyone is at home. I spend a lot of time with him, especially on the weekends, but now more than ever. In addition, virtually, I spend a lot of time with my right hand, you know, Jeanette. She's I can't even put a value on how valuable she is to my company, and she was there with me, you know, for about a year and a half now. So I spend virtually a lot of time with her, strategizing, thinking about the business, thinking about the brand. Unfortunately, because of the social distancing, I'm not really spending much time with others. But just the other day, we had a video chat with all of my MIT friends, and we were, you know, drinking wine from our living room, and we had kind of a 7-way or 6-way hangout.
That's awesome. I think that's happening a lot. I got to start doing it. I've been doing more podcast episodes, it seems, but I think I got to like hang out with people for fun. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. So that's, I mean, unfortunately I can't give you five people because
that's all right. Three is good.
It's only my husband and I at this point. And so,
That's good. All right. Well, listen, Ellie, how are you, Ellie Perlman, changing the world?
I'm teaching people how to do what I do. I'm teaching people all about OKRs and buying real estate and raising money from investors and scaling their business. It's very satisfying. Obviously, you know, it's not free. So there's an economic component to it, but it's very satisfying to actually help someone and change their lives and see that, you know, they can do, you know, other things that they haven't done before, that they can buy a 100-unit building, 50-unit building.
Right. That's awesome.
That's fun for me.
That sounds really fun to me. I'm weird that way, but I'm down for that.
You're weird in a good way.
Yeah. Although it's funny, for a while there, I was kind of thinking like, should I go commercial? But now I'm not so sure that makes sense. The world's very weird.
You should.
You think commercial?
Yes.
Really?
Well, commercial, multifamily is commercial.
I guess.
Above five units.
That makes
sense. Considered commercial. Yeah.
That makes sense technically, but it's a different customer obviously, right? Or it's a different tenant.
Depends where. Some tenants, you know, if you're in an area with outside of California, of course, but
yeah,
with a $25,000, you know, median household income, that's not really, you know, good tenant base. If you're in an area with $50,000, $70,000, $80,000, might not be a lot here, but Texas and Florida, that's a very decent living. And
that's very true. I mean, I think that money goes a lot farther, and those are pretty stable.
Yes.
Ones, right.
Yes.
I was interested in Nashville too. I guess there's a lot of probably reconstruction going on there, right?
Yeah, I heard good things about Nashville. It's not one of my markets, but I know it's growing.
Okay, well, Ellie, I'm going to wrap with one final thing, which is when we have interesting guests on the podcast, we'd like you to nominate someone that you know that would also be an interesting guest. We usually talk to experts and entrepreneurs about how they automate and grow their business or how we can automate and grow our business. So who would you, Ellie, like to nominate as a future guest?
Ooh, I would say Natalie Alicia, which is another, she's a friend of mine. Usually I see her every week, but now I haven't seen her in a while. So she's also doing great things in estate planning, and it might not be, you know, something that you probably didn't have a lot of guests that were talking about it, but
that's all right.
She's been on TV, and she published a book recently. So
oh, cool.
She's
okay.
Going to be a fun guest.
All right. So Natalie Alicia, you've been nominated as a future guest. Ellie, thank you so much for being my guest today. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Michael. That was really fun.
Anytime. This has been another episode of the Automate and Grow podcast. We will see you on a future episode of Automate and Grow.